If everyone hangs out online, and if the world is accelerating to live online, then all of our flexes, the way we show off and express ourselves, also has to be digital to accommodate that.
This is the first time that we're ever solving the problem of digital authentication and digital ownership, something that we have never had before.
You're approaching the technology from the point of view of the internet, and this is not the internet.
As long as you have a good idea, there's now the highest chance ever for you to actually make a difference and an impact, and that opportunity has never been more equal, at least in my time, I think my parents' time, and I'd even say my grandparents' time.
Good ideas are always crazy until they're not. Hello, everybody. And welcome back to the second episode of Not a JPEG, a podcast about the future of NFTs and Web3.
Where each week, we are going to take everyday sectors of modern society and explore how NFTs are going to revolutionize how we start, scale, and sell businesses. Now, before we get into today's episode, if you're watching this on YouTube, listening on Spotify podcasts, Apple podcasts, or whatever podcasting platform you listen to, if you could do us a little favor and hit that subscribe button and any sort of notification bell that exists to stay up to date with every single episode or piece of content that we produce. And if you by chance have Twitter or Instagram or TikTok, check us out and give us a little follow at Not a JPEG Podcast. We'd so appreciate it and can't wait to interact with you as we continue making more and more episodes about the future of NFTs.
Yep. That's a pretty strong start.
Thank you.
Love it. So second episode. Today's episode is a very, very important one because we are going to lay the foundation for everything that we'll be talking about from here on out. It's a bit of a thesis, I would say.
A bit. This is the thesis for the entirety of how we're going to base everything in this podcast. It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And I think, you know, we hope to, you know, by the time this is over, we hope that you understand why we are so bullish on NFTs, why we're so bullish on the technology, why we think this is going to be very relevant sort of moving forward, and why we are hanging our hat on and committing to creating content around this topic for the foreseeable future. So
there's a lot riding on this one, ladies and gentlemen. So strap in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. So as you said in the last episode, we are currently in the depths of a bear market, not just in crypto and in NFTs, but every traditional market is down. It feels like inflation is rising every single day. So we can take this time to really reflect on what's happened and maybe make a couple predictions on where things are going. I'd say hypotheses even.
Yep.
So the first thing is that in the NFT and crypto space, we really experienced the gold rush in the last year. A lot of people came in thinking that this is going to be an opportunity for a quick buck. We saw a lot of scammers. We saw a lot of people taking advantage of other people.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit of a wild west. And those days are, I would say, mostly gone.
Yep. They're behind us for sure.
Yes. They're still going to exist, but mostly gone. And the people who are going to weather the storm in this time are people who are truly going to be builders, people who are creatives, people who see a future of NFTs and really want to be part of, you know, building that tomorrow and making it a more equitable, fair, and exciting place to be. And so what comes of the ashes of this bear market is going to be something so creative, inspiring, and wonderful beyond anything we've seen in Web3 and blockchain technology, but I'd say in technology in general.
Totally. And it's a very exciting time. Very exciting time. But, you know, before we get there, you know, obviously the space is maturing. There are a lot of naysayers, right? A lot of skeptics. And I think that's very fair of any emerging technology. But of course, you know, in this current downturn that we're seeing, you know, maybe it's a crypto winter, but we see a lot of the naysayers who just can't wait to step out of the shadows and say, aha, gotcha, you know, pull the I told you so card, you know, NFTs are dead. They're dead. I told you they were a bubble. They're dead. It's burst. They're gone. And so
I know too many of these people.
So, of course, lo and behold, we see the following headlines in mainstream media.
Here's a couple for you. The death of NFTs, or NFTs have fallen off the cliff, or one of my favorites, the NFT bubble has officially burst.
Right. And, you know, we see a lot of that. And that's just not, it's not just the news cycle. It's social media and, you know, even industries like I come from an advertising background and, you know, I consider advertising to be a relatively progressive industry. I think even there you kind of see a bit of uncertainty where, you know, yeah, there are opportunities, but it's not this massive paradigm shift and it's not going to create a whole new market the way the iPhone did, which I don't agree with, but moving on. I think even, you know, even outside of these articles, you know, many people compare NFTs to Tulip Mania. They compare NFTs to Beanie Babies. And, you know, I understand the sentiment. There is a bit of merit in comparing, you know, one mania and one speculative gold rush with another. But I think at the end of the day, it is incredibly short-sighted because you are comparing an emerging technology with stuffed animals and flowers. And that's just an insane claim and comparison to make. And I think, you know, for the most part, those making these claims, I just simply can't believe, I don't think they have an understanding of what the blockchain is or just how great an impact the underlying technology will have on society moving forward.
Yeah, I can even speak to experience with that because I definitely kind of felt the same way, not quite comparing it to collectibles, but just because I didn't understand the technology underneath it and didn't really take the time to explore where it could potentially go, I was skeptical around that. And yeah. I get it. You know, it's easy to critique it when you don't know it.
Yeah. And I think skepticism is good. Like skepticism is important. You know, you want to dive into something with a little bit of questions, with a little bit of uncertainty, and kind of work towards that and build an understanding. But I think those writing it off right away haven't really put in the time or effort to educate themselves on it in the way that it probably should be. So, I mean, yes, I agree. There was a gold rush. There was a mania. That's over. But NFTs are far from dead, and the underlying technology is not going anywhere. And I think if there's one thing history has taught us in general, it's that betting against technology is a losing game.
Yeah. So we dug up this Daily Mail article from December 5th of 2000. If you're watching this or throwing it up on the screen right now, here's the headline. Internet. Maybe just a passing fad as millions give up on it. Millions are turning their back on the World Wide Web, frustrated by the limitations and are unwilling to pay high access charges. Email is far from replacing other forms of communication. Or experts from the Virtual Society Project, which published the report, say predictions that the internet would revolutionize the way society works have been proven wildly inaccurate. As a final quote, many teenagers are using the internet less now than they've previously have, and the future of online shopping is limited. Does this sound familiar?
Yeah. Does it? It rings a few bells.
I feel like if we just put the word NFT into wherever it says internet, we could probably get an article that was written last week about NFTs.
Yeah, there's definitely a comparison, a nice one-to-one.
Yeah. But even further than that, let's take this another step further. We dug up a video of Bill Gates, you know, young Bill Gates being interviewed on Letterman in 1995. So even before this article came out, talking about the internet, and the audience was just laughing at him. Like it was a joke. It was kind of like, it's hilarious to look back on that and watch it even. We'll roll the clip.
But you know, I think about this, and what about this internet thing? Do you know anything about that?
Sure.
What the hell is that exactly?
Well, it's become a place where people are publishing information.
Right.
So everybody can have their own homepage, companies are there, the latest information. It's wild what's going on. You can send electronic mail to people. It is the big new thing.
Yeah, but you know, it's easy to criticize something you don't fully understand, which is my position here.
Go ahead.
But I can remember a couple of months ago, there was like a big breakthrough announcement that on the internet or on some computer deal, they were going to broadcast a baseball game. You could listen to a baseball game on your computer. And I just thought to myself, does radio ring a bell? You know what I mean?
There's a difference.
There is a difference.
It's not a huge difference.
What is the difference?
But you can listen to the baseball game whenever you want.
Right.
Too.
Oh, I see. So it's stored in one of your memory deals.
Exactly.
And then you can come
That's
back
the RAM
a year later.
Thing you talked about earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Do tape recorders ring a bell?
You know, looking back at it, it's kind of cute. But at least he was able to acknowledge the fact that he doesn't understand the technology well enough and therefore is casting a judgment, which, you know, I think is pretty big of him to be able to say as he's critiquing it.
Yeah, but I mean, we look back on that video and, you know, you just can't help but cringe because it certainly did not age well.
No.
You know, and, you know, that's an example of the internet. But this idea of betting against technology and underestimating its impact, we have seen countless times throughout history. For instance, Western Union and the telephone. So, you know, Western Union was a company that dealt with the telegraph predominantly. That was their business model. And very early on in the 1800s, Alexander Graham Bell had invented the telephone. He was going to sell them the patent, but they just couldn't understand how this would be relevant to their industry and their business, and they left him out of the room. And the telephone had just exploded shortly after, and they needed to really rethink how they do things.
Yeah. As you're saying, this another example comes to mind with Blockbuster and Netflix. I was reading a book where it was talking about how Netflix actually approached Blockbuster and offered Blockbuster the opportunity to buy the company before it actually worked on scaling itself. And Blockbuster kind of laughed them out of the room, thinking that people would never stream videos online, and the whole experience of going to Blockbuster to rent a DVD is still very relevant. Another example, now that we're going further, is pagers and cell phones. Like, you know, back in the 90s and early 2000s, people were like, why would we ever carry a phone around in our pocket when there's payphones everywhere? Yeah. And somebody could just page me to go to a payphone. And I think you said it to me last night, the last payphone in New York City's Midtown has been put in a museum. And that was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So times are changing.
Times are changing. Here we are. And I mean, even while on this topic, you know, the idea that physical shopping will never be replaced by online shopping. You know, there was this mentality and this vibe that, you know, people are always going to have to go into the store and touch something and feel it. And now, you know, look at one of the largest companies in the world.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos calling that online shopping isn't going to be a thing.
Yeah, he'd like a word with you.
He'd like a word with you. If there's one thing that, you know, these examples have shown us and kind of what we're seeing with NFTs right now is that resisting technological changes is going to leave you in the dust. And regardless of how you feel about it, one day you are going to be forced to adapt it one way or another. And, you know, even being forced, like, let's take the example of Facebook.
Yeah, social media.
Yeah, I remember it was grade 8, right before I went into grade 9, that my parents finally allowed me to get on Facebook. Even though all my other friends had Facebook, I had to wait till grade 9 because they were just like, oh, you don't need to put your picture up there and whatever. And now it is our parents' generation that is using Facebook like crazy. Like, they are the main target audience on Facebook. I use Facebook for Messenger, if that.
If that.
If that. And so it really goes to show you that, you know, give it 10 years and even the people who said, oh, no, it's not safe, are going to now be the ones getting caught in Facebook scams.
It's true. Right? I mean, I only use it for the memories of the past. So it's a bit of like a
time capsule
for yeah. me. But my mother still sends me a lot of articles through Facebook, which is, I think, a case in point. But I think, you know, in all these examples, it seems that those who are kind of quick to criticize NFTs and Web3s, you know, have a hard time understanding of why we would ever replace, you know, our current ways of doing things, ways that, you know, for the most part are working within the current sort of society that we live in. And they kind of look at it through the prism of technology today versus what technology will be in a few years, right? They don't have that
foresight.
To look forward into sort of the future and put themselves in the world we're going to be living and see how this technology will serve that world. Right. So I think, you know, the TLDR is don't bet against technology. And I think in general, you know, maybe just be curious, curious enough to change your mind and willing enough to educate yourself a little bit more about the things that maybe you don't fully understand.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And I think speaking to that point, you know, we've been living in this world where every day it feels like things are becoming more and more digital. And that transition has been greatly accelerated by the last 2 years with the pandemic and the global lockdowns. You know, we're going remote work, remote education, feels like remote everything, remote like parties, like that, you know, we're no longer seeing each other as much and everything is becoming a lot more digital, digital, digital. And I think, totally. You know, the buzzword of the metaverse, mm-hmm. you know, it gets dropped quite frequently. And the whole vision of us wearing these Oculus Rift headsets and living in this world that was kind of presented by Mark Zuckerberg in that video last
keynote,
year.
Yeah.
Like, we are years from that. Okay. Unless Mark isn't telling us something. And that cliche world where we see the metaverse is really not exactly what at least we think it is.
Yeah. And I think that's, that aids the naysayers, right? That's part of it, right? And kind of scoff at the idea that, you know, we're not going to be living in the metaverse. And, you know, in a way they're right. Like, it's not going to happen anytime soon. That cultural shift will take quite a bit. But for me, I really liked Sean Puri. He put out a tweet last year that I resonated with. It was a really good take. Highly encourage everyone to read it. Maybe we'll put it in the show notes. But so he had this take that the metaverse is not really a place so much as it is a point in time. This point in time, this pivotal moment where our digital world becomes more important to us than our physical world. And it's this shift in perception, you know, many years in the making, not going to happen overnight. But it's when every important aspect of our lives goes digital. And to, you know, the point you were making around COVID, to the point you were making around sort of this acceleration, this digital acceleration, you know, we're already seeing that. Like, you know, look at work, right? We went from factories to boardrooms, you know, and then we went from those boardrooms onto Zoom calls. And, you know, I still work from home. That's where I spend the vast majority of my time. Our friends, right? Communities, you know, we went from, you know, interacting with our neighbors very frequently to now our followers, right? Where do our communities live, right? They live online. They live on Twitter,
yeah,
Reddit, Discord.
Yeah.
Right. That's where we're sort of interacting with people. Same thing with games, right? You look at gaming, more kids play Fortnite than they do football and basketball combined.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, regardless of how we feel about it, it's true. And even identity, right? You know, our identity is becoming digital. The way we portray ourselves online, right? You know, filters are the new makeup, right? Stories become our own billboards in the way we broadcast ourselves to the world. And so, you know, what matters more in that case, right? What we actually look like in real life, or what the photo looks like of the event, of the experience, of the person, right? That thing we communicate online digitally to our followers that many people will see, that's what seems to matter. And again, this is not a criticism. You know, this is not, you know, we're not saying it's necessarily a bad thing. We're not saying it's a good thing. It's a neutral thing. And it sort of just is. So the thing is that when everything goes digital, you know, your friends, your job, your identity, with NFTs, your assets are also now digital, right? Mm. And obviously our purchases reflect our wealth. You know, they reflect our values. They reflect our point of view on the world. And so if everything is digital, right, what matters more, right? And I use this example. What matters more, you know, the signed and autographed Michael Jordan jersey that I have hanging on my wall, right? Or the Bored Ape I have in my wallet, right? One will be seen by 3 to 4 friends that come and visit my bedroom, right? That walk into my home. The other will be seen by thousands, potentially millions of people on Twitter. So, you know, what
Yikes.
Matters more, right?
Yeah.
And so in that case, right, the Bored Apes become the new Rolex, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Fortnite skins become, you know, the new skinny jeans, become the new swag, become the new kind of clothing. So if everyone hangs out online and if the world is accelerating to live online, then all of our flexes, the way we show off and express ourselves also has to be digital to accommodate that. And that is a really large case of where we are currently with NFTs and the communication that comes across through the NFTs that we own. And, you know, they're a large part of our online identity. They're a large part of communicating who we are to people right now. And they're a large part of becoming and joining communities of other like-minded people who share the same points of view, outlooks, and experiences. So that's kind of the current state of them right now.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. That's just like, that's like some serious stuff Michael just dropped there. Why digital ownership is going to be so important. And like, as to build off of what you were saying, Michael, you know, this is NFTs in our current form, you know, overpriced JPEGs that represent some sort of perceived value or status. But what's really important here, and this is like Letterman saying he doesn't understand the underlying technology of the internet, you know, the underlying technology of all of this is really, really what's key here, because it's the first time that we're ever solving the problem of digital authentication and digital ownership, something that we have never had before.
Totally.
It's huge. And to simplify this, it's essentially, it allows any sort of buyer of an asset, of whatever the heck the asset is, to be able to say that you own the original copy of a digital file. You know, the same way that you might own an original copy of a Picasso, or, you know, the original copy of a digital audio file and an original recording.
The master, yeah.
So that is what's really important. That changes everything.
I think that one-to-one is very hard for many people. And, you know, that's obviously seen in the kind of jokes that you see, you know, I right-click saved as your NFT and now I own it, right? It's a very... You know, it's a very dated way of looking at it, because when you hear a comment like that, you know, you're approaching the technology from the point of view of the internet, and this is not the internet, right? This is, like Katarina said, you know, an emerging technology that solves the idea of digital authentication and digital ownership, and it's not so much about the image or the file that it's attached to as it is the underlying bit of code that authenticates, that proves you are the owner of that piece, right? And that's huge, because it's something that we've never had before, and... It'll change everything.
Yeah, like the major innovation here is the fact that there's a public ledger now that proves this ownership and smart contract capabilities. And this is something that, you know, we've never solved in a trustless way. And yep. Trustless being that there's no centralized, you know, entity that we're all supposed to trust is acting in our best interest. Now it's just, you know, it's all out there in the open. It's totally decentralized. You know, these things, you know, the gatekeepers are kind of mostly gone. And, you know, this technology in conjunction with digital acceleration is going to have huge implications on the way that we transact online. NFTs are going to transform anything that has some kind of ownership, anything that has perks of ownership,
yep, benefits.
That's a big one. And then anything that has to prove you have ownership over a period of time, just to name a few applications that we can think of.
But it'll definitely disrupt anything that deals with ownership.
Yeah. And as your world becomes more and more digital, we're going to need to find quicker, more frictionless and verifiable ways to prove, you know, authenticity and ownership as we interact online, because NFTs and the blockchain solve that digital authentication piece in a way that we've never seen before. It's going to be a huge driving factor behind the change of everything around us. This will make NFTs and the blockchain essentially necessary. Having everything digitally connected will be better and smoother than we currently do things off chain.
That's key.
You know, that infrastructure is being built right now during this bear market. You know, Michael and I keep talking about this. What people get wrong in their thinking of these like use cases is that NFTs are going to be, you know, they want something that's going to be revolutionary, that's never been seen before. Like, wow, this technology.
And there are elements of that.
Oh,
definitely.
For sure. And there's going to be more of that right now. But a lot of the really most understandable applications of it are going to be very similar to things that we use today. It's just the fact that with NFTs, the technology is significantly better and will continue to get better for these applications. And the most important part of that is that it's now equitable. You know, as I was saying earlier, those gatekeepers are gone. Now, anybody, at least at this point in time right now, can get into the space. And, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what color your skin is or where you grew up or what your socioeconomic status is or where you work currently or any sort of barrier there. Like, as long as you have a good idea and the chops and the team and the drive to be able to do it, there's now the highest chance ever for you to actually make a difference and an impact. And that opportunity has never been more equal, at least in my time, I think my parents' time, and I'd even say my grandparents' time.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very bold statement and a good take. But, you know, what Katarina said and what I'd like to touch on, which I think is spot on, is that absolutely NFTs are, you know, they're a better technology for a lot of the things that we already do. And I think, you know, a lot of the Web3 skeptics and those skeptical of NFTs, you know, they don't understand why we would ever replace the way of doing things. Like, why would we, you know, if it's not broken, if it's still working, why would we replace this with the blockchain? Why would we replace this with this technology? And I think that's, you know, that's kind of the argument you hear. It's like, all these things are off chain. Why do we bring them on chain? And I think, you know, if you look at all these separate industries, right, whether it's healthcare or legal law or real estate, all that, they all have their own, you know, their own little micro ecosystems. They have their own databases. They have their own ways of doing things, but there's absolutely zero interoperability between these things. And
no one talks to each other at all. Yeah. And it's like, you know, one, even within the same big company, like in a government, you know, one organized part of the government will use one kind of technology and another one will be trapped like 10 years in the past using something from the 90s.
Yeah.
Or still paper.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that alone, like, even that's a great example because that's one entity, right? So if we have that, you know, imagine that same example repeated across multiple industries, right? And, you know, if we are accelerating the way we are digitally and, you know, we're getting there, we're jumping into a highly digital future, you will need a way for things to interoperate with one another. Mm-hmm. And that's a large thing that the blockchain solves. And so, you know, the skeptics that call out, why would we do things differently? Why would we move things on chain? Because it's technology that will keep up with the pace of the rest of sort of the evolvement and evolution of the other sort of digital aspects of our world. So, you know, I totally get it. And I mean, here's the thing, going back to that Letterman example that you provided, right, from 95 with him talking with Gates, it's like, I get it. You know, we laugh. It's funny. Like, totally get it. Like, why would I... Why would I log onto the internet? Why would I go through the process of the dial-up, hear all that,
which, that curse noise?
Which, you know, for those of us born in the 90s, we totally get. You know, why go through that whole process just to stream a Major League Baseball game when I can flick on the radio and turn it on?
Yeah.
So I totally get it. I get one is easier at the time. And you know, right now, NFTs and sort of...
It's clunky.
It's clunky,
it's
right?
It's clunky. Even like in the article that we first showed, that article from 2000 about the fact that there's a high cost entry, like with gas fees, or the fact that it's sometimes hard to even ape into an NFT project because of the fact that some of them are very expensive.
Yeah.
Like people don't just have, even like the more affordable projects back at the height of when ETH was at, you know, 4,000 Canadian, you know, dropping $500 on, you know, a mint of like 0.07 ETH is expensive for many people. Like, it's an investment.
But I was gonna say, cost aside, just even the experience or the process of like buying crypto on an exchange, then moving it to a wallet, having a MetaMask, then connecting that to OpenSea or connecting that to somebody's mint page. Like, it's just
there are podcasts dedicated to that.
But yeah.
Like, there's like whole entire NFT projects being created to just dedicate to onboarding people because it's such a clunky process right now.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is mass adoption will come when that process gets a little bit better.
Yeah.
So I totally get that comparison. I totally get the skepticism, because the same way that Letterman was skeptical about the internet because we had the radio, you know, the same applies here. But I think what people are missing a lot of the time is just the pace and rate at which technology will advance. It's been parabolic, and how quickly the surrounding cultural shift will happen too. Because that's the thing, is, you know, we didn't think we'd be where we are with culture, basically. Like, there's no such thing as internet culture anymore. It's just culture, right? It's so deeply woven and embedded in who we are and how we do things. So that shift happened in, what, 2 decades? This one will happen much faster.
Like 5 years.
Much faster.
Not even.
5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I actually think, you know, while we're on that topic, a large part of why, you know, people have a hard time accepting this, I mean, is the way that we were first exposed to NFTs, right? You know, these are expensive JPEGs of monkeys. Like, have we gone mad? Like, you know, you remember when I first told you about it, right?
Yeah, it's too many monkeys. This is my number one complaint. It's like, why is there another monkey project this week? Why?
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, that aside, it's just this idea of why are we, no one could understand why we're blowing hundreds of thousands of dollars on these pictures, on these collectibles, right? And I think, you know, that really fits in line with Clay Christensen's toy theory, and in general, just the theory of disruptive innovation in general. And, you know, he basically posits that one of the reasons why big new things kind of sneak by and get ignored by incumbents is because they always start off looking like a toy. And he kind of says that,
interesting.
And so the next big disruptive, truly disruptive technology always starts off looking like a toy, because what it does at the beginning is it kind of undershoots the user's needs. Right. And that's very evident in these expensive JPEGs of monkeys.
Yeah. That's a really interesting way to take it, because, you know, I think selling things too as a toy or a game is also, especially when the technology is very new and rudimentary, it's an easier way to get people to understand it and adapt it, because, you know, humans are naturally pleasure seekers. And so another new game or another new thing that's just going to be fun is a really easy thing for people to kind of get right away. But I think most people will write it off, people who are innovators or people who are investors or whatever, people who are skeptics, because it's like, oh yeah, it's just a toy.
Well, that's the thing. And like technology that is clearly very innovative and life-changing that isn't disguised as a toy, everybody pounces on, right? Mm-hmm. There's no disagreement there. They're like, this is the future. This is great. We're all going to do it. But the toy, that's the one that kind of slips under the radar, right? And, you know, even going back to, you know, the Western Union example from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
You know, they had the option to buy the patents, you know, but they, you know, the first telephone could only carry voice a mile. That was it. Right. And so Western Union was like, well, how the hell is this going to disrupt our industry? How the hell is this going to be good for businesses and railroads? Right. Which is their primary clientele at the time. You know, the voice can only travel a mile. They're like, yeah, we see no use. We don't see the value and the potential. And they failed to sort of anticipate just how rapidly telephone technology would explode and how quickly the infrastructure would improve. And that's exactly what we're going to see with NFTs. And so, you know, that's a large part of it, right? It seems crazy, right? And hate them or love them, but I think even Elon Musk said, you know, good ideas are always crazy until they're not.
Ooh.
And that's, you know.
That's facts.
Facts,
yeah. It's true.
And I think that's what we're trying to do here with this podcast, yeah. Not a JPEG, right?
Yeah, it's kind of why we started it, is to kind of help businesses and entrepreneurs, either ones with current businesses or, you know, ones that they want to start, figure out how they can adapt their value proposition and their business plan to actually take advantage of this disruptive tech and apply it to their ventures, and do so right now while things are still really new and things are being innovated.
And not to dismiss it as a toy. Right. And see it for the disruptive technology it truly is, and use it within their ventures.
Because it truly is going to disrupt every industry and marketplace that exists one way or another. And you just need to look, like, really simply, like, if you're not convinced yet, just look at the people that are in the space right now.
Oh, yeah.
And to tell, like, these are some of the smartest and most creative people with a proven track record that are innovating in this space and building these future companies. Like, that to me is like a massive green flag.
Yeah. And that's one thing you look at. You look at where the smartest people are currently putting in their efforts. But even, you know, that aside, a large part of the mass adoption of the technology will come from brands and major corporations. And, you know, they're already building in the space. And sure, a lot of them kind of just launched a project, tried to ride the hype and the wave of the gold rush and the speculation. But many of them are actually building, you know, digital infrastructures that are going to utilize NFT technology moving forward. And we'll get into some of those specific cases, you know, sort of in later episodes. But, you know, a big thing that NFTs do is, project aside, they give brands and companies and corporations an alternative source of revenue, regardless of the industry, right? And I think the other aspect is, for the first time ever, they've managed to tap into a secondary market, right? A secondary market, like, there's like billions of dollars of digital goods are sold in secondary markets. And for them to be able to tap into that now is
massive.
It's
groundbreaking. Like, that's just like one built-in feature of NFTs. It's just the basic built-in feature of secondary market.
Yeah, the secondary market like, it's a huge source of revenue, causes an economy to thrive. And so these corporations are actually financially incentivized to accelerate the adoption of this tech because of their sort of revenue seeking, you know, desires or ways. And I mean, that's so you've got the smartest people in the space working within the field. You've got, you know, this massive backing from the biggest brands and companies in the world that we, you know, buy, use and look up to. And then the last bit is our children, right? You look at the children are future consumers, they're future builders, they're future creators, and they are being raised in a world where digital assets have value, right?
Oh, yeah.
You look at Fortnite skins, you look at V-Bucks, you look at Robux, right?
Yeah. Like, I can give a really great example here. So my nephew, he's 12, and I asked him what he got for his birthday. It was just repassed recently. And he's like bragging about the fact that he got a bunch of gift cards to buy V-Bucks for skins. And it kind of took me aback a little bit, because I remember like maybe the earliest version of this was Neopets. I was a big player of Neopets back in the day, and there was a premium version of Neopets you had to pay for, where you could get like, you know, special paint brushes to paint your pets and like go into stealth mode, which is like really legit if you could do that. But like my parents just laughed at the idea of actually spending money for you to join this internet game of Neopets and pay money for it.
You know what? That's a very interesting point, because I think that might even be largely why there's so much skepticism, even from our demographic, around this idea, and our parents too, around why you would ever put any money into digital goods, why you would ever buy digital goods. Because that's kind of where it started. It's Habbo Hotel for me too, right? And buying fake furniture. My parents couldn't see why the hell they would ever give me $20 to buy a couch that I don't know own, that's just pixels on a screen.
Yeah.
And so that mentality
first
has definitely
NFTs.
Stayed, yeah, in a way, right? So, you know, again, whether it's not necessarily good or bad, it's kind of neutral. It just is. You know, we're not here to kind of critique whether or not this is the way things should be going, but it's a fact, right? That children are being raised in a world where they see the value in digital assets, and they're going to be the future consumers, future creators, future builders of this world.
If they're used to this already, like that's just how they're going to see the world when they start working and how they start, when they start building companies.
Yeah, it's like, inevitable.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
So, like that's you know, we've spent the last year collecting overpriced JPEGs. You know, we said that a couple times here, and utility has been kind of a buzzword, dare I say, in some spaces, even
kind
like
of a
bad
dirty
thing.
Word.
A little bit of a dirty word. People don't like the idea of utility, but that, especially right now, is going to flip, and we're going to move into a phase where things are largely utility based, because that's going to actually provide real value for people. You know, the masses to come in. Yeah, they're going to understand utility versus just collectibles. You know, the collectibles are still going to be here. They're still going to thrive. You know, they always have. I think it's part of human nature to collect things. But the next phase is going to be utility based.
You know what? The mass adoption will come with utility. The mass adoption won't come with collectibles. Collectibles, there are collectors, but that still in and of itself is just a niche group of people. The utility, especially within every single industry, is where that change will be, and we want to be part of that change and helping facilitate that change, you know. And that's why we're doing what we're doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is where true innovation and creativity are going to shine. So in sum, you know, we've spent the last year collecting overpriced collectibles, where utility has been a buzzword, or dare I even say, you know, a dirty word. Some people look at utility and think, oh my gosh, like, it's a bad thing.
Yeah, you're just using this word to try and get me to buy something with a roadmap that you will never act on.
But that whole mentality is going to flip now.
Yep.
And we're going to move into this phase that's largely utility-based, because, you know, and I truly believe this, for the masses to adopt NFTs as part of their life, it's going to be utility-based, and it's going to be related to things that they already understand and know, just more efficient and seamless with everything in their life.
Yeah, I think, you know, 5 years from now, we won't even be using the word NFT, the same way that we don't really call it the World Wide Web or the information superhighway.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
it's
kidding.
Just going to be one of those words that are kind of invisible, and because the technology will be invisible and so deeply ingrained in everyday life.
Mm-hmm. It's not to say, though, that collectibles aren't, and, you know, and the overpriced monkeys aren't going to still exist. Like, collectibles are still going to be a very important part, because collectibles, I think, to collect is part of human nature. And, you know, people are always going to collect and have high values and hold on to things like assets like that forever. It's just going to be a lot less as we head into a world of mass adoption. And so this is the time right now during a bear where we're going to see the true innovation come out, and creativity is really going to heat up. So, you know, in some of everything we've said today, just in case you want a little bite size of it, NFTs are an emerging technology just like the internet. People never thought that we would buy things online, yet Here we are with 24 hours delivery with Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people never thought that social media or Facebook would catch on, yet, you know, grandmas are now making Facebook profiles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but the same way that everybody now has their own personal website or social media accounts, in the next, you know, 5 to 15 years, NFTs are going to be an instrumental part of that.
I'd say a seamless part of our lives too.
Yep.
So it's just the way things are going to be. And I think, you know, this was sort of, In some of this episode, this was sort of our general sentiment about how we feel about this technology. In future episodes, we are going to dive deeper into how this technology will affect every industry. You know, we've got a huge list. We've been sitting in this space for quite a bit. But if you'd like us to prioritize certain industries or certain spaces or certain topics, please reach out. Drop us a line. We'll gladly sort of prioritize it based on what people and what listeners want to hear first.
Yeah. So, if you didn't have enough evidence in this episode, make sure you keep listening, because totally. We're going to lay out the evidence in many specific case examples as we continue forward with this podcast. So that's it, guys. That's our thesis. If you're as passionate about NFTs and how they're going to revolutionize everything we have in the future as we are, be sure, first thing, to follow along, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, you know, give us a rating if you have a chance to give us a rating on podcasting apps, drop us a comment in the comments of a YouTube video. And if you have social media, you know, follow us at Not a JPEG Podcast on TikTok, on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to connect with you and discuss any sort of ideas or thoughts you have. You know, don't be afraid to reach out. Even via email, we'd love to connect. And if you're somebody with interests that overlap with ours and you want to be featured, make sure you reach out. You know, we'd love to be able to talk to you and incorporate your wealth of knowledge and experience into everything that we're sharing here. And as a reminder, as I said in the last episode, we'd like to hit 1,000 Twitter followers to launch some public Twitter spaces where we will engage in a dialogue with anybody who decides to participate about their current business or their business idea and how that could potentially be an NFT project as well.
Bit of a think tank, right?
Yeah, a little bit of a think tank. It'd be really exciting to do that. So help us out and get there. You know, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your friends, tell your neighbor, tell your dog, you know, anybody who's going to listen to you.
Your dog will definitely listen to you.
That Not a JPEG is your new favorite podcast. Thanks so much. See you next week.
We'll see you next time. Take care.